Everyone has a limit, and he's reached his. This is Nick's Take, a new type of political talk show about the current status of our country, elected officials, and the rest of the world. He'll give you his take on it from an old school anarchist with common sense and a true Generation Xer. Nothing is said from a place of hate, but this is an uncensored show. So if you're easily offended, turn back now, cupcake. Here's your host, the one and only, Nick B.
Yes.
It is time once again for what we like to call Nick's Take. This is episode 6. It is Wednesday, September 25th, 2024. And man, do we have a bunch of stuff that we need to get into and talk about. Some of it, I didn't actually get everything pulled together in enough time to talk about it because I had a busy night last night and I wasn't able to get the show prep like I normally do. Normally takes me a couple of hours to get show prep for everything, for Nick B in the morning and for all my other shows, Nick B Minute, in the ER, all of those. And then this one. So it's not that I'm too busy. It's just, you know, sometimes stories get missed. And there is one story that I've got to add to this one. So I need to make a note of that. I don't have it written down. So, and it's about the, pending, strike on the ports where the port workers and the port authorities and people that are basically running our entire economy, and they're responsible for us getting our goods that we may purchase online or wherever else, in grocery stores, some stuff, some of the foods that come internationally they come through the ports. If you want to go buy blue jeans, they come through the ports. If you go shopping, if you need car parts, I remember having to wait, I think it was like 3 weeks for tires for my car. And I'm like, seriously? And then when the tires finally did come in, they were ungodly expensive because I tend to drive until I have to replace all four tires. And that's the way I've always done it. But it took them forever to get the tires. I don't want to go back to having to wait for normal things like tires. Are you kidding me? Like, that's insane. And then computer parts and stuff like that, it's all going to be delayed if they go on strike. So at this point, whatever the workers are asking for or looking for or requesting, give it to them, damn it. One of the places where, one of the ways that they kind of changed the backlog of things that we had from COVID was they started doing these inland ports. And there's an inland port in Texas that basically, because this is something that I didn't know, when every ship shows up, the entire ship has to be investigated. Like, every bit of it is thoroughly vetted before anything comes in. And I'm like, I didn't think they did that. Like, they look at the crew, they look at the contents, they put it all through like these fancy security things to scan them and everything. So there's a lot of work that happens at the ports, and the boats have to dock if they can't get into port. Obviously, our largest port is the port on the West Coast out in California. Did you know that every time a ship is docked out there, it costs them $1 million a day to stay docked? So these manufacturers and these shipping companies and everybody else has been begging the United States to do something about it. And the United States started doing inland ports, which basically mean the ships can come in, they can get all of the security stuff done, everything gets offloaded from the ship, and the ship is free to leave and go pick up another load. So they're not having to spend that $1 million a day. The problem is inland ports usually take forever to make and can be pretty pricey when they actually do get them going. So having a potential strike looming at the ports for an economy that's already shaken, and kind of already barely holding on and barely getting by, that's just, that's not good. And it's, we're coming into an election year. They're supposed to be going on strike in October. October 1st is supposedly the deadline. I'm hoping and praying that whatever it is they're requesting or that they're wanting, and again, I'm recording this right now, so if it's actually changed at this stage, I don't know. But from the last moment that I read it, because it's currently 10 after 9 Central Time on Wednesday, and I don't know if it's actually changed and they've averted the strike. So at this point, the last I read, they were pending, or they were planning to strike October 1st. If they do, anything that you may buy, with the exception of locally produced goods, is going to be scarce. When it's scarce, what happens? Prices go up. Prices are already through the roof right now. On top of the dock workers going on strike, there are several trucking companies that are trying to avert a strike as well. So it's pretty much going to be COVID-like, where the trucks aren't really delivering supplies because the supplies aren't really coming, and nothing's going to be moving. And it's just like, really? Because again, the economy is barely holding on, and y'all are going to do this. I understand. It's just like, couldn't you pick a better time? Like, couldn't you do it after the election? Maybe get a negotiator as a president, or somebody that actually uses their brain cells as a president. I digress. Everything we talk about today will be up under show notes. Go to nickstake.com. Yesterday, I wasn't able to do afterthoughts with a cigar, which is kind of just talking about what we talked about on the show a little bit more, because I only do the show for about an hour. And sometimes I can't get into everything that I want to get into. So I sit outside and I smoke a cigar after I get home pretty much every day anyway. So I was like, well, let me just go ahead and do more thoughts on whatever we may have been talking about on Nick's Take. So afterthoughts wasn't done yesterday. And it's not going to be done today because I've got meetings and stuff that I've got to do today. So unless, you know, after all those meetings, I decide to go outside and have another cigar, then I might do it. I don't know. You'll know if you reach nickstake.com. All of the episodes are listed right there. This is episode 6. So click 6, go all the way to the bottom, and if you see afterthoughts in a video, then obviously I did it. I mean, doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Slight little coffee break. Got to take a sip. And I realized I'm not drinking enough water anymore. I just realized that this morning when I was talking with LB in the break. I used to drink way more water than I do now, but I have actually increased my coffee intake. So that may be the issue. I'm drinking more coffee than I am water, and I need to quit doing that. But I love my coffee. That's the problem. It goes so good with my cigars. Now, one of the things that I told you guys that we were going to talk about yesterday on Nick's Take for today is, there is a very violent gang that is taking over in the United States. You may have heard of the Venezuelan gangs that took over an apartment complex in Colorado, and you may think to yourself, oh, that's just in Colorado. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, fear not. I'm here to shatter that bubble. Harris and Biden are to be blamed, and I'm going to massacre this name, for Trinidad's big move into New York City. Prostitution, robbery, murder, and assaults. They could be coming to a neighborhood near you if they haven't already. The brutal Venezuelan gang, known as Trinidad's, I guess, moved big time into the Big Apple and cities across America thanks to the Biden-Harris administration's open borders. I also read, and I don't know if I saved this story or not for it to be under show notes, J.P. Morgan's CEO was quoted as saying that him and all of his rich elite friends now see the problem to having open borders. And everybody says, no shit. I think I have that. Wait a minute. I think I have that. Don't I have that? I have that clip of him saying that. Let me see. Have I got it on here somewhere? I do have it. I just don't know where it is. Yeah, I know. Bear with me.
No shit!
There it is. So it says, a post report gave a chilling glimpse into Trend's rapid explosion into a U.S. criminal empire. Operating out of taxpayer-funded city shelters, Trend blackmails migrants as young as 15 into joining its ranks, sells illegal guns and drugs, including the fentanyl-laced pink cocaine. They run brothels and send out thugs on mopeds disguised to look like Uber delivery drivers to rob New Yorkers. Oh, and by the way, the Biden-Harris administration just put out a release that crime is at a 70-year low in the United States. I forgot that kicker. Or the FBI. The FBI released it, but of course it's Biden-Harris's administration that put it out, because crime is as low as it's ever been in the United States of America. Tell that to the people in New York that are being mugged by people they thought were Uber drivers. The gang has turned a stretch of Queens Roosevelt Avenue into a market of sweethearts, red light district riddled with hookers and hawkers peddling stolen goods. See, a lot of y'all may be too young to remember what New York used to be like until a man by the name of, Donald J. Trump started revitalizing a lot of places. And he started working with city leaders to make sure that they got the police force to be the incredible police force it is today. It is the largest police force in the entire country. I'm not a fan of police forces. I'm not. I don't like police at every fiber of my body. I could sit here and tell you why, but the show is not long enough. The fact that New York got their shit together, got their cops on right, and it was all done at the insistence of a man by the name of Donald J. Trump, because he wanted to revitalize a lot of things, and he made a lot of money doing it. But he cleaned New York up. Him and his developer buddies, but it was mostly him spearheading a lot of it. Well, it looks like they're returning to how Manhattan used to be. So, that's interesting. Open borders did that. Another interesting thing is, in the 80s, they actually tried open borders, and it failed miserably, and they shut it down pretty quick. Now they're like, we're not going to shut it down. I digress. Roving bands of migrant teens rob businesses and stick up average New Yorkers, threatening them with guns or knives until they turn over their cash, phones, and other valuables. Want to know why? It's hard to carry a gun legally in New York. Tell that to these Venezuelan gangs, Kamala. Or Mayor Woodfin of Birmingham. Tell it to them that they shouldn't have these naughty weapons. And the gangbangers have no qualms about brazenly shooting cops. Back home in Venezuela, that usually means getting away scot-free if you kill the cop. New York's finest are doing what they can. They recently busted a crew of 24 migrant teens linked to 21 robberies. But Trend is still growing here, not shrinking. TDA went from a non-entity to a well-organized crime machine in a city in a little over a year. So they went from a nothing gang to a well-organized criminal syndicate in less than a year. Is the Harris-Biden administration responsible for Trend De Araguera's presence in American cities? And a culture of secrecy protects their head of the snake. So we missed a part of the story on this one. So let me see if I can find it. See if I can get it on my phone to see what that part was. Because it was getting to the part where it says, are they responsible? And most of us with a brain are probably going to think, or should be thinking, yeah, they're somewhat responsible for it. They have to be. Nope. There's a lot of people that are going to say they're not. Oh, no, that's the way it does. It says, is the Harris-Biden administration responsible for it? And then it just goes into, and a culture of secrecy protects the head of the snake. Okay, we'll just roll with it. Suspected gang members who are arrested will spill about their crimes, but are tight-lipped on the Trend leadership. As New York Chief of Detectives Joseph Kinney notes, not every migrant is here to commit crimes. Indeed, many migrants came to America to get away from gangs like Trend. One Venezuelan migrant told the Post, "I wouldn't want the violence I grew up with to start here. I brought my kids here so they wouldn't have the experiences with criminals like how it is over there." And then the idiot Democrats over here are like, "Let's just welcome everybody in. We'll give them temporary status. It'll be great." Yeah. Fucking brain dead motherfuckers. But Harris Biden's unhinged willingness to let millions of unvetted migrants pour over the border has ensured that the streets of Gotham and other cities across the country are starting to look like Caracas and Maricopa. In fact, some TDA members have entered legally via the Biden-Harris CBP1 app, which has waved in 1.3 million migrants and other alternative pathways the administration has created to deflate the official count of illegal immigrants entering. So, under this administration, they took the count that may be, I don't know, let's just say 1,000 people a day. I don't know exactly what it is, but let's say 1,000 illegals were coming through a day. So the Biden-Harris administration, instead of stopping it, they created an app and they started telling you different ways to come into the country so it wouldn't count as illegals coming across the border. So legit, at this point in time, we have no idea how many illegal migrants have come into this country. Do you know how fucking insane that is? And then they want to claim they want to help democracy. I digress. The White House is importing in crime, and President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris don't care. This is not me saying it. This is coming from an article, which again, you'll be able to read up under show notes today. I believe this is from the New York Post. Yeah, this is from the New York Post. Biden has been mostly parked on a Delaware beach since dropping out of the race, and Harris wants amnesty for migrants who cross the border illegally, all while leaving average Americans to suffer the fallout. If voters don't put in a leader willing to lock down the border and send TDA packing, the gang violence, murder, and mayhem will only get worse. The future of American cities hinges on November. And when you say, oh, that's just New York, that's only Colorado, that's not going to happen here. Well, as I said, I'm here to destroy that bubble for you. How migrant gang TDA is luring women into forced prostitution in 8 states, including along New York City's Market of Sweethearts. Remember, we just talked about that in that article? Well, now it gets better. The vicious Venezuelan migrant gang Tren de Aragüey, I'm just going to call them TDA from here on out, is luring desperate women deep into the heart of the U.S., forcing them to sell their bodies on the streets of America's cities to pay off exorbitant smuggling fees. A newly leaked law enforcement document obtained by the Post reveals. Why aren't they making them do OnlyFans? They probably make more money on OnlyFans, just saying. At least 8 states have seen an explosion in migrant prostitution since the gang laid down roots in the U.S., with authorities in Texas, Nevada, Illinois, California, Florida, Georgia, New Jersey, and New York now fighting to curtail the sex trade, the memo shows. So it was a leaked memo. We wouldn't know about it if some brave soul didn't give it to the media somehow. And that's another thing they want to stomp out, is people providing information to the American people, like this leaked article or this leaked memo. And victims may be operating out in the open on the streets of New York City. On Roosevelt Avenue in Queens, sex workers and madams openly ply their trade on the sidewalks. So they're not even hiding the fact that they're prostituting on the streets in New York now, which we kind of read that in the last thing that I was talking about. But openly performing prostitutional duties. It's called the Market of Sweethearts, and it's bustling every day of the week. One suspected brothel operates openly across from 2 elementary schools, with parents walking their kids past the seedy joint hawkers as they head to class. Not a good thing for the kids, Kamala. Kami, Kamala. Kamala! Ah, if y'all haven't seen that video is hilarious. I'll try and link it on today's show notes. You'll see what I'm talking about. Law enforcement sources in New York said the storefront brothels are suspected of having ties to TDA, which recruits members and victims out of city migrant shelters. In the Big Apple, TDA is trying to recruit foot soldiers to force women into sex trafficking in hopes that it will become a main source of income for the gang, according to this leaked police memo. For so many women caught up in the vicious cycle of sex trafficking, the promise of a life in the U.S. is nothing more than an inescapable prison sentence, according to the memo, which was circulated to federal and local law enforcement agencies around the country. Once their fee is paid, they are allegedly free to go, the memo said. For some women, the debt is almost impossible to pay off due to the penalty fees added by TDA members as punishment. So again, TDA is this Tren de Aragua, which started as a Venezuelan prison gang, has made its presence in the U.S. known in recent months as multi-state migrant crime syndicates pop up. As a multi-state migrant syndicate, it's saying, engaged in gun smuggling, thefts, shootings, and apartment and hotel takeovers, it has been subject to at least 100 law enforcement investigations across the U.S. Their illicit operation includes running armed robbery crews disguised as food delivery workers and dealing guns and lethal fentanyl mix known as Tussie, or pink cocaine. But it is the sex trafficking that has marred many neighborhoods across the country. The gang has established sex trafficking rings as part of its various migrant pathways to the U.S. The gangbangers sell the lurid scam to migrant women in South and Central America, offering a path into the U.S., mostly via El Paso, Texas, before shipping them to other states. But once women are ensnared, the deal begins to change, as TDA provides the women with clothes, beauty, hygiene care, and a place to live, which is added to their smuggling fee, the memo says. The predatory gang members also take a cut of all the money the women earn during tricks. Or turning tricks, I should say, making it nearly impossible to pay their debts. In addition to the gang's sex trafficking in New York, TDA also took over the Gateway Hotel in West Texas border city, wielding guns and hatchets while also engaging in fights that led to 700 calls to the cops. In fucking Texas, people, they took over a hotel with guns. In Texas. Texas, people. Fucking Texas. What makes you think New York or Atlanta, Orlando, New Orleans, Nashville? Again, it's already happening in Colorado. Omaha. What makes you think they're not going to be able to take over these smaller areas with their guns when they were able to do it in fucking Texas, where everybody has a gun, just about? Surveillance cameras captured the people partying, men and women converting in the hallways, all while children were present at the hotel. TDA is also expected to continue to expand its operations into North Carolina, according to this leaked police memo. So, all of you liberals out there, when is enough going to be enough? Like, are you legit just going to be like, no, keep letting them come in because, you know, we don't have enough crime. You know, keep letting them bring these poor innocent women and force them into prostitution because that's just how they do it at home. They're just doing what they normally do. When are you going to look at this and go, okay, this is too much. We got to do something about this. They took over a fucking apartment complex in Colorado with guns. They armed, it's an armed hostile takeover to where the American gangs are like, what the hell? If the cops aren't going to do anything about it, then we will. And I'm sorry, my money's going to be on the American gangs, especially the fact that the Hell's Angels got involved. But again, the fact that you can sit there and still somehow openly advocate for more illegals to cross in is just beyond me. And again, the number they're telling you, it says in one of the articles that I just read you, it says that they have changed the definition of how many people are coming in that are being classified as illegal immigrants, because they only count at the border, specifically one specific way in at the border. So the administration created a fucking app to tell them how to get around so that they won't be counted as illegal immigrants, so it won't look bad on them because it's a fucking election year. That's insane to me that you have the highest level of government officials telling people openly to come into our country illegally. And there's some people that don't have a problem with that. I got a problem with that. I don't care if you come here illegally through the main borders and you come here to legit work. Like they talked about how this one guy left Venezuela. He probably didn't have money when he crossed. He's probably made himself legal since then. I know a bunch of people that have done that. They've crossed illegally, but as soon as they get enough money, they make themselves a citizen because they believe in America. They don't want to fuck it up and turn it into where they came from. They don't want it to be the shithole country they left. But the president of the United States does, and so does his commie bitch vice president. I'm sorry. I'm tired of being nice to these motherfuckers. You just heard how they're overrunning cities and forcing these women that are just trying to get away from that kind of bullshit in their own country into fucking prostitution. And how they'll never escape. So they start to feel miserable. So what are they going to do? They're going to start doing drugs. It's going to start spreading STDs like nobody's business. Because it's unregulated and it's unchecked. And this fucking administration, instead of actually doing what adults are supposed to do and say, hey, whoa, we're all full up. You want to come here? There's a process. You got to go this way. You got to talk to this dude. You got to get this paperwork. You got to go to court. You got to do all whatever it takes to become a citizen. Close the fucking border. No more people in. There is no room in the inn. And to all of you weak ass Christians out there, they're like, oh, God tells us we should have open borders. The fuck he does. He tells you to build a fucking fence to divide your land between you and your neighbors. What do you think he's talking about? You think he's legit only talking about putting up a privacy fence between you and your neighbor? You're fucking brain dead. He's talking about immigration. If you are going to go to a country, you're supposed to do it legally. That used to be something that we all kind of understood in this world. Nowhere else on the planet can you just show in or show up and they just welcome you and start giving you money except for here. And then they actually tell you, hey, don't go to the border in this city in Texas because the police are going to stop you, detain you, and send you home. Instead, we created an app for you. It's on iOS and Android. Just download that and it will show you the route so you can come here illegally. Are you fucking kidding me? And y'all are okay with this. I'm okay with the immigrants coming. Don't get me wrong. You want to come here legally? Let's do it. Boom. Get here. Everybody deserves a chance at a better life. And America is the only place right now giving you that better life. But if we continue to have our border just unchecked, and again, even though she tries to deny it, Kamala Harris, Harris, was in charge of the border. Biden put her in charge. So ultimately, this expansion of TDA, this Trinidad-Uruguay, is own Harris. It's her entire thing.
Oh, but she was never border czar.
Even though she's got tweets out where she's talking about being a border czar. They got to hate it. They got to hate the fact that the National Archives won't let you just delete tweets, because you can still find her tweets where she's doing that, where she's talking about taking up the border czar position and having to handle the border. Now, next thing we're talking about. I think this is probably, this is a very lengthy article about Joe Biden. And this is, look, this is where I differ with a lot of people. I believe what they did to Joe Biden is a disgrace. I think what the Democrats did to him is equal to elderly abuse. It's horrible and it's extremely un-American. if he legit wanted to be president, which I don't think he did, I don't think his wife wanted him to be either, but I think they may have told him, hey, the Department of Justice has an investigation going on into your son right now. Joe Biden may be a miserable son of a bitch. He may be an abusive father. He may be whatever else you want to think he is. But I think he ultimately tries to help his kids as best he can. And again, I know he's allegedly abused like his daughter Ashley and stuff like that, which is horrible, don't get me wrong. And I'm not giving him a pass on that, but I think wholeheartedly the only reason he agreed to be president was because he was trying to save his only son, his last surviving son, Hunter, from prison. I will believe that until the day I die, because Joe Biden served. He served for like 30 years in the Senate, and he served as a vice president for 8. And again, we can argue if the presidency was successful or not, but he did it with merit. You know, and the Joe that we had as vice president under Obama is not the Joe we got when he became president. And that was clear the moment he was elected. He didn't have it, and it just progressively got worse. So much so to where people started mocking the president to a point where it's like, what are we doing? Like, there's a difference in cracking some jokes, right? That's supposed to happen. If they say something stupid, you crack a joke about it. But when you openly just start mocking them and talking about, like, even I do it, how he's a vegetable and he's not even there, it's like, okay, what are we doing? Why are we allowing this to continue? Right now, nobody believes Joe Biden is running the country. Nobody. And Kamala definitely ain't doing it because she's out on the campaign trail. There was a picture the other day where it said, Joe Biden is meeting with his cabinet. I'm like, no, he's not. And somebody on Twitter was like, okay, who do you not see in that picture? I said, dumbass, the vice president, who's part of his cabinet. I digress. This article says, Joe Biden's disastrous legacy of crime at home and war abroad on full display in his final UN speech. In 1980, the Boston Globe put a placeholding headline on an editorial about a speech by President Jimmy Carter. Mush from the Wimp. The headline read, and it appeared in more than 150,000 copies of the paper before editors caught the error and removed it. I thought about that headline as I watched Joe Biden's UN speech on Tuesday. The similarities go far beyond another mushy speech from another wimpy president. Biden now rivals Carter as the worst American president of the modern era and maybe of all time. Both men were one-term Democrats, failed by inflation and disorder at home. On the global stage, they pursued policies that too often treated American power as a problem rather than a solution and rewarded with mayhem and murderous aggression. Look at what's happening in the Middle East. Look at what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. Look at what's happening. You know, Iran is running its lip. They're even sending hit squads to kill the president, the former president. There are differences, too, with Carter constrained by his faith-based moral imperatives, while Biden's family got rich by selling his name to foreigners, some of them adversaries. Looking at you, China. But the bottom line is that both were shown the door because most Americans had lost confidence in their ability to lead the nation safely forward. Only the details differ. Still deep in denial. To judge by his UN speech, Biden has not yet come to grips with reality. He dishonestly suggests he voluntarily passed the party's torch to the vice president, declaring, quote, some things are more important than staying in power, end quote. No Democrat alive fucking believes that. They don't. You know how I know it? All you got to do is look at them without party eyes and you'll see all they care about is being in power. I just told you how a Venezuelan gang is taking over cities in legit apartment complexes and hotels and motels all over the country to run criminal organizations. And they were told how to get here through an app that was created by this administration. They only want power. They don't care about our safety. They don't care about anything else. The number one duty and the number one priority to all government officials is its people's ability to stay safe. And him suggesting that he stepped aside because he just didn't want to stay is bullshit. The Democrats made him. That was one of several passages designed to weave a positive legacy out of a thin air and rampant failure. No sell. The nation and the world are in far worse shape now than when Biden took office, and he stayed in the race. Had he stayed in the race, he would have lost to Donald Trump in a landslide. Americans are generous and patient, but not stupid. Indeed, the widespread belief that we are now closer than ever to World War III captures the truth of Biden's disastrous term. Rarely, if ever, have things gone so bad so fast. As part of his sleight of hand, he used the UN speech to paint himself as an optimist and cited the end of our wars in Vietnam and Iraq as proof that things can get better. Of course they can, with the right leadership, which in this case means someone else. He tried to sneak Afghanistan into the memory lane mix, saying, "I was determined to end it, and I did." But first, before saying he thinks every day of the 13 service members who died in his chaotic withdrawal decision that they so desperately try to blame on Trump. They could have delayed it. He's the fucking president. As always, he ignores the inconvenient fact that every military leader warned him the complete and sudden abandonment would be disastrous. And it was. In fact, it's only strengthened Al-Qaeda, who we went over there to fight for 20 years anyway. So what does he think about when he thinks about those Americans who died because of his arrogant mistakes? Does he acknowledge even to himself that it is his responsibility and he is responsible for those deaths? And what about the Taliban rule? Does he ever think of the brutality towards dissenters and that filled the vacuum he created? How does he reconcile his actions with the Taliban's latest barbaric restrictions on women, which require total body and face covering and public silence? Then there's the message of the Afghan bug out sent to the world. Vladimir Putin saw a sudden withdrawal as proof America was in retreat and decided that the time was ripe to invade Ukraine. A mere incursion would be okay, Biden stupidly said. Iran smelled the weakness and unleashed the hell of Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis on Israel. Yet repeating this mistake of Barack Obama, Biden continues to reward Iran with sanction relief and punishes Israel by withholding arms and isolating it into a world stage, or in the world stage. He, along with many other Democrats, insists that Israel has the right to defend itself, and then quickly adds a but that effectively limits the Jewish state's defense to its own borders. Had Israel agreed to the terms for a ceasefire in Gaza, it would soon be facing another armed Hamas, and Iran would be preparing the next round of assaults. Although the Israelis rightly rejected the suicide pact Biden offered, it was another example of American prestige being squandered on bad decisions. Then there's China, which had to be giddy when Biden made excuses after one of its spy balloons flew openly over across America's heartland. No doubt Xi Jinping was delighted to hear that Biden downplayed the incident and even expressed doubt that Xi himself knew about the brazen gambit. It's more than a point of curiosity to wonder how Biden thinks about all of these things and other terrible things that have happened on his watch. The world is on fire, and despots are on the march. Yet he paints himself as a man of peace, as if the events are just coincidence or bad luck. This is one of the best articles I've ever written, ever read. And then an ad popped up on this one, so let me see if I can get the other version of it. Hold on. Oh, really? Give me the link. Yeah, I know. Poor planning. The printed version of this, though, printed an ad right on top of the text that I'm trying to read here. So let me just go here. And it is the title of this next segment in this article is "See No Evil." He doesn't see or admit that his obsession with peace isn't noble when it appeases evil. Peace through strength is not in his playbook, and it's nonsense to boast about American might while you shrink our military and force our brave warriors to focus on pronouns. If you're a foreign power eager to seize territory and monumentum, you could ask you couldn't ask for a softer touch than come and get it, Biden. That's what millions upon millions of illegal migrants have realized as they cross our borders. Most stop to fill out paperwork with Border Patrol agents who have been reduced to clerks, but millions of others, goatways in official speak, have entered the U.S. without even that formality. Like I just told you, they've given them an app and told them how to get into the country safely, illegally. This is a problem unlike any America has ever seen, and Trump is not wrong to call it an invasion. Biden has never admitted the scope of the problem, nor explained why he threw Vice President Harris into it and called her the border czar, and has adopted Biden's dishonest defense that Trump urged Republicans to kill a bipartisan Senate bill that would have shrunk the numbers. It's dishonest because the bill came in the fourth year of their tenure and would have reduced the number of illegal crossings by about half, when a simple reversal of the executive orders Biden used to open it would have been far faster and more effective. The executive orders that Trump put in place. Remember day one, Biden had a stack of executive orders that he signed. One of those was to open the fucking border. Besides, the bill didn't pass either chamber of commerce, so claiming it was a cure isn't even an honest talking point. The Democrat crime wave. Meanwhile, the invasion has led to a crime wave all its own in many locations far from the border, New York included. And it has been a budget buster, with tens of billions of dollars being spent on massive new problems created by the stroke of Biden's pen. If that weren't legacy strains enough, here's a prediction. History will record Biden's tender as the moment when the Department of Justice violated its honor and traditions by jumping headlong into partisan politics. The prosecution of Trump, both as a former president and as Biden's opponent, marks a new low in our nation's history. Never before has a former president been charged with a federal crime, and I don't believe it's a simple matter that all others were angels after leaving office. Rather, it's the previous generations understood something profound about the fabric of our nation and what held it together. And I agree with that completely. Like I said, Biden served with dignity and he served with class, regardless if you like the man or not. He already served. He paid his dues. He was done. And just because Trump brought in responsibility, and because Trump was able to put the minority party, which is the Republican Party, because there are less conservatives in this country than there are liberals, because the minority party finally had a seat on the Supreme Court, or three of them, they decided, oh no, this isn't going to happen. We need to fix this, and we need to take care of this quickly. So they got rid of Trump, and many people believe the election was stolen. I don't believe necessarily it was stolen. I do believe that it wasn't truthful. Coffee break. For them to say it was the most secure of any election is bullshit, because all you got to do is search on Google or YouTube. If they haven't deleted it, I'm sure you can find it on X. All you got to do is search and you'll see videos of people just shoving thousands of ballots into the ballot boxes. And I also find it funny that Joe Biden was losing at 2 a.m. in the morning when they were counting. They stopped counting. And at 3 a.m. when they started counting again, miraculously, he found like 15 million votes. Yeah. And the systems that you vote in, the actual things where you actually put your voting card in or whatever, wherever it may be in your area, however you do it, they're not supposed to connect to the internet. Every one of those machines were connected to the internet. And again, just because the MyPillow guy didn't present the best case doesn't mean he's wrong about it being stolen. There's a good majority of Americans that, if they're being honest with you, they'd tell you they think that the 2020 election was hinky. Because again, Joe Biden didn't debate. He didn't do anything to invigorate the Democratic Party other than he wasn't Trump. That's exactly what they're still running on. This is why a large portion of Americans believe they're going to steal the election again. Do you know that they are currently voting early in a bunch of states? 6 weeks before we're supposed to vote, and people are already voting. And the kicker is, they're already telling us, we need to be prepared to not know who the president is for weeks. That's unacceptable. If fucking American Idol can tabulate the millions of votes of people that used to vote on that show within 45 minutes, then we should be able to tabulate the votes in the presidential election. The fact that every other country on the planet can do it within 24 hours, the fact that they're telling you we're not going to know for several days, possibly weeks, means they've got a different way of how they're going to steal it this time around. Or worse yet, like the one Democrat guy said, they're not even going to certify the election. That's going to cause war. He even admitted it in his comment. He said, we just won't certify the election. We'll give Democrats all the bodyguard protection that they need, and we'll prepare for civil war. And I'm paraphrasing his exact words, but that's pretty much what he said. And I'll try and find that and link that in the show notes so that you know what I'm talking about. That's a huge deal, especially to people like me that aren't really election deniers. I don't deny the results of 2020. I just think they were hinky, and I think it deserved looking further into, and Mike Pence could have done that. He could have called for a recount. There would have been no harm in doing that. It's happened several times in our nation's history. Or he could have called for a House vote, which has happened several times in our nation's history. In fact, Thomas Jefferson became president because he called for a House vote, because he didn't believe in the authenticity of the votes in the fucking 1700s. Really? I don't have the authority to do that. Fuck off, Pence. Now, here's even more good news. There are economic woes that are coming, according to many Fed experts. I got to clear my throat. So, I'm trying to find this guy's name because I don't know if it's in this article. All they keep referring to him as is Peter. Let me see if I can find his name. Yeah, poor planning. I know. I did this all this morning because, again, I didn't have time to do it last night. And again, I read articles from just about any kind of source. So if you're one of those people that don't like where some of these sources come from, then you're not going to like the rest of this show as this show continues, because again, I will find sources and read sources from anywhere. And this source is saying, economist warns QE is on the way. And again, it still doesn't tell me his full name. It just says, on Friday night, Peter took again to X Spaces to comment on the Fed's recent decision to the stakes of the upcoming election and Bitcoin, among other topics. He spends most of his space interacting with his followers and responding to their questions. Peter starts by addressing the big news from last week that the Fed announced rate cuts of 50 basis points, signaling a return to monetary police from the Great Recession era. Quote, there's no doubt in my mind we're going to have a quantitative easing, probably at the latest by the first quarter of 2025. The Fed may even start after the election, depending on how bad things are. But the rate cuts were just the beginning. Powell and the guys at the Fed are saying, well, the economy is great, everything is awesome, but we're cutting rates by 50 basis points anyway. Something that they rarely do. Like, again, that was a massive cut that they did last week. The Fed insists inflation is under control, but it's still above the typical 2% target that they're expected to target. The Fed is cutting rates, claiming a victory over inflation, when it should be obvious to anybody who understands inflation that it's about to go through the roof. We saw a big breakout in inflation up to 9%. We've now seen a pullback to around 3%, and we're now finding support above what used to be the resistance. Every time the Fed tries to delay a recession, it facilitates an even larger national debt and ensures that the next crash will be bigger and badder. He says, we're going to have real economic crisis in the United States that we should have had 10 years to 20 years ago. but we were able to succeed in kicking the can down the road, and that's going to come back to bite us. Because the collapse is going to be much worse, because our economy is so much worse. We're screwed up now. The deficits are much bigger than they were back then, so it would have been easier. It would have been an easier problem to solve 20 years ago. In response, a listener questioned about his preferred economic reforms, and Peter explains that the size of government needs to be drastically reduced. Even many Republicans struggle with this grasp. He says, "We have a huge bureaucratic monstrosity that needs to be dismantled. There's so much that the government does that it shouldn't even do at all, at least at the federal level." Do you know we actually pay a paycheck to everybody that has ever been president? We also pay benefits and stuff to everybody that has ever served in Congress. They get health benefits for like the rest of their life. Now, I know you get a retirement package wherever you work, but at least it's coming from profits of the company and not from somebody else's pocket like the members of Congress and the president are getting from us off of the sweat of our backs. I like when it used to be a volunteer position, by the way. I also like my presidents when they don't take their paychecks, but that's a whole nother thing. These functions would be better performed at the state and local level, agree, and so the federal government should just get out of those things. Even the things that the federal government should do, and there's not many things that it should do, it does very inefficiently. Trump brags about the fact that he created Space Force. We didn't need the Space Force. That's another agency. It's the wrong direction. We needed to get rid of some of the agencies we had, not add new ones. I will caveat. China has been actively trying to develop more space weapons where they can shoot things around the world and target countries or dissenters around the world. And Space Force is preventing a lot of that. So I understand and I agree with what he's saying. We definitely need to shrink our government, and I completely 100% believe in shrinking our government, but I think he's a little off on the Space Force creation. Not that I think Trump is perfect, because I don't. I don't like the expansive government that he did. I don't like how much money he added to the deficit. I don't like a lot of the things he grandstand on. There's a lot that I don't like, but again, he's not openly advocating for the death of innocent babies. One listener asked Peter about Jack Mallers, the CEO of the crypto company Strike, and the mindset behind investing in Bitcoin. Peter thinks crypto investors like Mallers and Michael Saylor don't seriously consider the possibility that Bitcoin will crash. He says, "I remember the housing bubble in 2002, 2003, 2004, and 2005. I found that people who owned homes, and I was renting at the time, but people who owned homes could not accept the fact that their house was going to go down in value. I think one of the reasons for that is they had such a vested interest in their house going up because it was their biggest asset. They didn't even want to consider the possibility that this gravy train was going to come to an end. I think that happens in Bitcoin to an even bigger degree, especially when you invest heavily in Bitcoin, not just because you own it, but because you've started a business that's based on it." So he's basically saying he thinks some people might pull back from Bitcoin because it's probably going to lose some value. Towards the end of the space, several listeners asked Peter about gold stocks, prompting him to comment on his experience as a stockbroker. He argues that there's ample room for the deregulation in the financial sectors too. He says, quote, "Trump should get rid of the SEC. Hell yeah. Not just rid of the SEC. Chair Gary Gensler, get rid of the entire SEC. We don't need it. We should just abolish it, and we should abolish the FINRA. Not only would that save a bunch of money because we could fire all those bureaucrats and let them get real jobs, but it would help the country. It would help the capital markets. Things would be better, right? Investors would be better protected and better served without the government looking over their shoulders." Absolutely agree with most of what he said. But he's an economist, I am not, and he is actively predicting that there's going to be a bigger crash than what we avoided 20 years ago with Bush. And then it passed on to Obama, that famously did the cash for junkers to try and save the automobile industry. And it limped along. And now the mortgage crisis that happened under Obama, that was technically started under Reagan, that happened under Obama, and now we're already We're not even that far out from when Obama was president. You're talking 7 years, maybe, tops. And now we're already talking about another looming huge crisis and crash. Part of that is going to be housing again. And then you're going to be looking at food prices are going to crash or go through the roof and all kinds of stuff, especially if all of these strikes happen. There is a policy and it is a procedure that is a military procedure of how you can collapse a country government and its currency and everything. First, you flood it with migrants. Then you flood it with uncontrolled and unchecked inflation. And then you change the leadership positions and you collapse the entire thing. All we need right now is the leadership position. If Harris wins, they will successfully have collapsed everything we believe in. Because, on another note, George Soros, who recently bought a crap ton of radio stations, he bought a company called Odyssey. When he bought that, it's about 200 radio stations. When you're talking about that many radio stations, there's a level of national security. They have to go through to make sure that all the investors are not foreign investors. They have to make sure all of the money is American money. They have to do all of these things. It usually takes time to do that, especially with that many stations. Having been a radio station owner and currently buying radio stations across the country, it takes about 6 months for the FCC to approve it. He got a fast track because he's George Soros. And they need him to start running ads and news segments that prop up Kami Kamala. Out of everybody out there, they gave him a fast pass to get his radio stations quicker. Whereas people like me that are legit just trying to own radio stations to make radio stations fun again, it's just beyond me how they would let political stuff get through that fast. And y'all need to look into the whole George Soros thing, because it is a very interesting thing about why and how he took over those stations. That's going to do it for this episode of Nick's Take. If you want to learn more about me, you can do that by going to nickstake.com. Follow me on all socials for the show. It's at It's Nick's Take. We are at It's Nick's Take on all socials. You can follow me there. I'm usually way more active on X. I post a lot more on X than I do anywhere else, and that's not going to change anytime soon. I'm even going to start doing more videos over on X. If you want to learn more about me or anything that I'm doing, www.nickbnation.com is where you can go and do that. There will be no show tomorrow. I've got a bunch of stuff that I've got to do. There's not going to be a show Friday. If that changes, I might try to record a Nick's Take maybe tomorrow when I come back to the studio after all of my meetings. I'll see if I can do another episode, if I have enough time to come up with the stories and everything to talk to you guys, because I don't want to just sit here and ramble for a long time. I want to actually give you things that you should know about that maybe you're not reading because maybe you don't know the sources or you don't agree with some of these sources, and I will give you my opinion from all of these sources. Everything will be up under show notes under episode 6 today at nickstake.com. That's where you can go. You can read everything and you can look for yourself and make your own mind up. Never take what I say as the gospel. Always look into it on your own. And if I say something that you find contradictory or you find evidence to the contrary, please point it out to me. I want to learn. I don't want to be spreading bullshit, misinformation. I don't like that term, but I don't want to be spreading just bullshit. If you find something and you find that I'm wrong, let me know and I will fix it. Until then, I will see you guys maybe Monday to do it all over again, or I'll do another episode tomorrow. In that case, you'll see it tomorrow. Whatever. NicksTake.com. I can't leave without giving you my customary goodbye, which is hug your loved ones each and every day, because you never know when the good Lord will call them home. For every dark night, there's always a brighter day, and life's just a party, and parties weren't meant to last. Y'all be good, and I'll see you next time right here on Nick's Take.
Wow, that was something. The proceeding was produced by Nick B. Entertainment. All rights reserved. Don't even think about using any portion of the show without the express written consent of Nick B. Entertainment. We'll get you. To learn more, subscribe, or to see what the hell we're up to, visit www.nickbnation.com. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next time.